Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and quick reminder that with the State of the Union address tomorrow, we will have a call-in later in the program, right about an hour from now, for listeners from left, right, and other on what President Obama should fight for in 2010. That's his new language. He's going to fight. We'll play some clips of President Obama using the word fight a lot of times in his speech the other day. And we're collecting your suggestions right now on our website and Facebook page. What should President Obama fight for now that he's in fighting mode? Go to WNYC.org and click on Brian Lehrer Show, or go to the Brian Lehrer Facebook page, a few that are coming in on Facebook in the last few minutes. Eben writes, he should fight for any cause that the Barack Obama that left New York to go become a community organizer in the South Side of Chicago would be proud of. Mary on Facebook, he should fight for what he really believes in, the things that made us so excited to vote for him. And Camille doesn't like the whole exercise. She says, I hate the word fight when used like this. Marines fight for us. Politicians only argue and advocate. At this point, the word is so overused by politicians that it's meaningless to me. But what should President Obama fight for since he wants to fight? Go to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show or the Brian Lehrer Facebook page, and we'll take calls to this effect in about an hour. But have you ever looked out your window and wondered why there's pitch black soot rising from the smokestack of a nearby building? Have you ever wondered how many other buildings emit the same soot and what it's doing to New York City's air quality? Well, most New Yorkers probably don't spend very much time thinking about how their home and office buildings are heated, but public policymakers certainly do. The city recently published its first air quality survey of a certain type, and the NYU Law School Center for Policy Integrity has now weighed in on the subject with its own analysis and report. Joining us to discuss the environmental and health implications of burning dirty heating oils are Michael Livermore, Executive Director of the NYU Center for Policy Integrity, and Jason Schwartz, co-author of the report, Residual Risks, the Unseen Costs of Using Dirty Oil in New York City Boilers. So Michael and Jason, welcome to WNYC.
Thanks, Brian.
Thanks very much, Brian.
So Jason, what's that smoke?
Well, the smoke is the result of residual oil. And residual oil, as the name implies, is sort of the leftovers from the process of refining petroleum. It's been called the bottom of the barrel. I've heard it referred to as the hot dog meat of petroleum. So it's really the leftovers, the sort of dirtiest parts that some buildings, actually it's a minority of buildings in New York, burn this very dirty type of oil and end up producing almost a majority of the soot that New Yorkers breathe in.
Michael, take us a little deeper into that. We're talking about number 4 and number 6 heating oil. How are they used, and why are they especially polluting?
Well, they're especially polluting because they have high levels of soot or particulate matter, which is an especially dangerous kind of pollutant that has very broad range of public health consequences. It's a good question why they're used. It's unusual that New York has a high amount of residual fuel oil use in residences. It's actually not very common elsewhere in the country. It's because we have a lot of big buildings that are relatively old, and so these boilers were installed, and the use of residual fuel oil got started before we knew that it had these really negative health consequences.
Out of curiosity, we're talking about the bad number 4 and number 6 heating oils. Is there a number 5 heating oil, and how did it get away without being a major polluter, Jason?
There is a number 5 heating oil. I honestly don't know what it's used for. In New York, the numbers that are used are number 4 and number 6, and also number 2. I wasn't in charge of naming these things, so
it's an even odds thing,
sure.
I guess. It's 2, 4, 6. Michael, we've posted a link to an interactive map on our website at WNYC.org. Listeners, you can go there and click on Brian Lehrer Show. It actually shows buildings in the city that are burning number 4 and number 6 oil. And you'll see that the map is absolutely covered in dots representing these buildings. So what are the numbers? Is it the majority of buildings that are doing these, a small minority of recalcitrant owners, or is there a part of town that's particularly bad? What's the pattern here?
Well, there's about 9,000 buildings that are using residual fuel oil in their boilers. So
at least that's a relatively small percentage in a city of 8 million people.
Right, that's right. And so given the large number of buildings, you know, it is a small amount. It's concentrated in areas where there's lots of big buildings. And so, you know, up closer to uptown in Manhattan, in the Bronx, those kinds of areas, you see a greater percentage of density of folks that are using.
In fact, let me take a call, because Joe in the Bronx is calling in right now. Joe, you have a thought about this? You have an observation here?
Good morning, Brian.
Joe, you're a plumber.
Yes, I am.
You're Joe the plumber.
Joe the plumber, that's it, but not the one on television.
you're our Joe the plumber.
That's exactly right.
And?
Well, what I'm saying is I'm here in the Bronx, and I would probably guess that 90% of the buildings here in the Bronx are burning the number 4 and number 6 oil. I've been online with Christine Quinn. She's pushed me off to other government agencies to convert these buildings to a cleaner burning number 2 or natural gas. I mean, if the city were to put a mandate on it, say about 5 years, it would put a lot of people to work converting boilers, cleaning out oil tanks, things like that. It's a job creator as far as I'm concerned.
Did Christine Quinn or anyone else say to you why they don't just do that?
Yeah, she says it's not her department, basically. So, you know, to deal with either the EPA or the DEP, things like that there.
All right. We are designating you the Brian Lehrer Show's Joe the Plumber as opposed to the other media's Joe the Plumber. Joe, thank you for calling. And Jason, why don't the city agencies just order this if it would be relatively easy, relatively inexpensive, or maybe it's not so inexpensive?
Well, it's something they're thinking about doing. Starting back in 2007 with the Plan YC effort was when New York first started talking about what should we do about heating oil. They're getting more and more serious about actually addressing the problem. Just last week in the mayor's State of the City address, he mentioned this specific issue, wanting to green the heating fuel used in buildings.
He did. He brought this up in the State of the City.
Did. Yes. So it's something that New York, their attention is on this issue. And, you know, we're very much encouraged by the mayor's first steps towards addressing this, and we hope that they actually make some significant progress this year.
And that's at the policy level. Michael, at the individual level, the Environmental Defense Fund recently put together a sample letter that residents can send to their landlords, and it lays out the ill effects and offers a few alternatives and steps that landlords can take. Is it realistic that landlords are going to switch how they heat their buildings without being required to by the city?
Well, obviously, a city requirement is absolutely vital to getting the city weaned off of residual fuel oil. There's no question about that. That having been said, it's important, for landlords, one, not to oppose the city. So that's one very important thing that landlords can do. But in the meantime, it's actually not that expensive, all things considered, to get off of this very polluting fuel. The price differentials aren't that great. Some folks are even shifting to natural gas where it's available, just based on the economics and not even taking into account the pollution. So there definitely landlords can start moving towards a greener solution, but, you know, we've waited too long for city action on this, and it's definitely important for the city to step in.
Why, Jason, are number 4 and number 6 heating oils so much more hazardous to our health? I mean, every oil burns, produces soot. What's actually in these things that's much worse?
It's important to note that this is not the kind of gas that you're filling your cars up with at the pump. This is a highly viscous, very thick. At room temperature, it's almost solid. It looks like tar. It's very high in nickel and other toxic heavy metals. And so it's not what maybe most people would think about as oil or fuel. It's actually a very dirty, very thick, toxic substance.
Now, Gus in Astoria did it, but wants to talk about the barriers. Gus, you're on WNYC. Thank you so much for calling.
Thank you, gentlemen. To change from number 6 is very viscous. You have to heat it And when it's cold, otherwise it won't flow. It's so thick. But it has higher BTU content. Now, I want to say that the controls on air pollution is the same for number six as number two. Every furnace has an electric eye, and if the smoke coming out is too dirty, the furnace shuts off. It's expensive. You've got to clean the tank to get out all residue of the number six. You've got to change the burner.
Did you convert for a building, a multi-dwelling building?
Yeah, 60 family in Astoria. Now, the new oil is much thinner. It's the same thing that cars burn, the same thing as diesel fuel. And it runs much more smoothly. I don't have to heat it, but it doesn't have the same heat output. It's more expensive to heat because it's more expensive to buy, and it doesn't have the same BTU content. It is cleaner.
Did you convert just out of environmental concern or also for other reasons?
We did it 30 years ago when our old burner didn't pass muster. 30 years ago, they came around and started checking, and they said, you're too dirty. So we said, to heck with it. Instead of having to deal with number six, and it requires a lot more maintenance for number six because it's so thick. The burner, everything needs a lot more cleaning because there's all this soot.
Thank you very much for chiming in with that. We really appreciate it. And, Jason, you reported that phasing out number four and number six residual oil usage over a 20-year period would generate about $5 billion worth of health benefits measured in dollars, and that $111 million in benefits will accrue for every year earlier that the conversion takes place.
Right.
How do you put public health in dollar figures?
Well, it's definitely a tricky process, but when government agencies look at whether the benefits of a rule justify the cost or not, it's helpful to try to translate both of those costs and benefits into a common unit that we can compare. And EPA...
Medical treatment not required, that kind of thing.
Sure, exactly. The cost of the illness in terms of hospital expenses, lost productivity at work, the actual physical toll of the illness, how much people are willing to pay to avoid a certain type of negative health outcome. And this is something that EPA has a lot of experience translating into numbers that we can use. And so they're widely accepted numbers that we've
used
here.
And we just got a call from Councilman Gennaro's office, and they told us that he is drafting a bill for the city to convert that the city council will see once he introduces it. So something is in the works in city council. So Michael Livermore, executive director of the NYU Center for Policy Integrity, Jason Schwartz, co-author of the report, Residual Risks, the Unseen Costs of Using Dirty Oil in New York City Boilers. Very informative. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Brian.
Thank you, Brian.